see. Father, thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word and your presence and your Holy Spirit. Without your Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. So we thank you that you enlighten these words, make them alive to us, make them alive in us, make them alive for us so that we can be everything you called us to be and function the way that you called us to function. We thank you for this class. We call it blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody close that door for me, please. It's good to see y'all again. We back second year. That main stretch. This class is called Church Unusual. It was my second year teaching this class, and I'm excited. I'm excited about all the classes, but I really like Church Unusual. And especially now, because I don't know, we've been experiencing Church Unusual around here already, just with all the supernatural things. So, you know, last year I was stressing about connection and being connected and make sure you're staying in the loop. And so it's very important to do that, because you never know when something like this is going to pop off. You never know when the Holy Spirit is going to start doing something different that he hadn't done before. Never approach, I said this last night in my other class, and I'll say it again, and then we get into some things. You never approach God or his ways or how he does things like normal. You never approach it like you know it already. You never approach church like you know what church is already. I had a friend of mine tell me one time, he said, Lord told her, she said, yet unfolding. And she always said, yet unfold, which means always unfolding. And the church is always unfolding. You think you know what church is, but sometimes you have no idea. You think you know who the church is sometimes, but you really don't know until the Holy Spirit gives you a revelation of what church is all about. Everybody say church unusual. Church. Now, the opposite of church unusual is what? Church usual. Church as usual. Church just being the same old way. Now, all of us have experienced church usual before. Amen, by show of hands. We got tired of that real quick, didn't we? Church usual is the same old humdrum. You go by your little schedule, sing two songs, do a welcome, sing a third song, try to get in the spirit real quick. Somebody going to preach, they're going to do the altar call, then you're going home. That church as usual, right? We know how to do that already. So clearly, ain't no supernatural going to pop off through that, because you can do that yourself. One of the main ingredients about church unusual is that you cannot do it. It can't be done by you. There'll never be anything unusual going on, because we in ourselves, without the Holy Spirit, without relying on the Holy Spirit, we in ourselves are pretty usual. Sometimes we don't want to admit that. Sometimes we don't want to say that. But we in ourselves, by ourselves, without the Holy Ghost, without the supernatural power of God, without being led by the Holy Spirit, we become usual, which is very humdrum. You know, sometimes even in life, and this class is about church unusual. It's about you becoming unusual, but I'm in your personal life, too. Sometimes we live our lives humdrum, day by day, the same old thing, and don't nothing new ever pop off. It's because we're not expecting it. It's because we're not expecting the supernatural. Now, we're going to get to a lot of stuff this year. Now, this class is going to be fun for me this year now, because, you know, now with Apostle going into the supernatural, talking about faith, anointing, and glory, all the different things, it's going to be crazy in this class, because that's really what church unusual is about. One of the first things I want you to understand, too, is the church is not a building. It's not a building. It's not a building. The church is not a building. The church is a live, living organism. The church, thank God, and it says in the first chapter, and we'll look on a little bit, thank God for the church house. Thank God for, you know, you have to get out of, I challenge people to get out of the normal way of thinking. Even in reading the Bible, the other class I got is Living by the Book, we did that last year. I'm challenging people to get out of the normal way of thinking, get out of the old way of thinking, get out of being, you never be stuck in a certain way of thinking, because you never know what the Holy Ghost wants to say and what he wants to show you. And when you're open, he opens. All right? When you open him, he opens up a lot of things to you. Well, a lot of times we think church, we think Sunday morning. Hey, man, come on. Go. Sunday morning, Bible study maybe, midweek service if we're getting fancy, right? You know, a service where they're going to be singing at the beginning, and then somebody going to preach. That's what we think church is, right? And many times we leave it there. We leave it on Sunday. Majority of people that come to church service on Sunday, leave it at that church on Sunday. The Holy Spirit is constantly trying to pour something out from heaven and open up a portal of heaven. We're going to talk about that too. Open up a portal of heaven to pour out something extraordinary, something unusual. Everybody say unusual. To pour out something unusual. But majority of the times, people come like this, but they never grab it to take it. So it's laying there on the floor. So now whoever's coming out, you got to clean it up. And hopefully, please, sir, have mercy that you pour out your spirit on us next week. Most of the time, that's how it is, because people don't have a concept of what church really is or what the church really is about. They don't really know who the church is. Remember, this church is not, it's not a building. Can a building be alive without you? Huh?
No,
sir. So the church is not the building, but the church is you. We are the church. Thank God for coming together like now, or like we're doing another class, or like coming for service, and a normal place becomes a special place. It talks about that in this book. Well, a normal place becomes a special place, but that space, that place is dead or inanimate without you there. Stop coming to this building. Let's all stop coming to this building. Let's everybody stop coming to this building for a year and a half, 2 years. Don't nobody come take care of. Don't nobody come do anything. Nobody come in here and pray. Don't nobody do nothing. Just don't come to the building for a year or two. And what's going to happen? It's going to start breaking down. It's going to start molding. It's going to start getting dusty. Because it can't live without life. You the temple. Your body is a temple, right? Right, right, right?
Yes,
he's saying that for a reason. That's not just a sin scripture. He's saying it for a reason. We are housing the power of God on the inside of us. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells where? On his great. You have overcome them, little children, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do y'all hear that? In you. Say in me.
In me.
Come on, say in me.
In me.
Come on, say it again. In me.
In me.
I am the church. Say I am the church.
I am the church.
I am the church. Say it again.
I am the church.
Come on, say it again. I am the church.
I am the church.
We got to break off about church service and start being church. We got to break off about church service. All right, Holy Ghost. You got to break off about church service and start to serve as the church. We got to break our mind from just being stuck in church service and begin to serve as the church. If our minds are caught up on the building, then that's where it's going to be at. I love this supernatural right now. One of the major things I love about, I heard Apostle talking the other day, and one of the major things I love about, I've always loved this about how he ministers and how he teaches, but one of the major things, he's not trying to get people locked into him. He's not trying to act like he always said, now I'm going to read the scripture in a minute, but he said, I don't know how I got here. I don't know how this happened. I don't know about the grace of God. I'm just listening to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost had favor upon me. To make everything, he'll tell you all this happened because of the Holy Ghost. And then he'll tell you, see, and most preachers or preaching won't do this because, before we leave it this year, I want to kill your ego a little bit because your ego has to die in order for God to use you like he wants to use you. It is not about you. You stop doing it, somebody else will. You won't accept the call, somebody else will. If you don't want to be used, God will use somebody else. Listen, I know they be saying, you know, I'm a friend of God and, you know, God needs me and I need him. And I was, listen, God don't need you for nothing. God is who he is all by himself, with or without you. You stop, the story going to keep going. Get in, get out, or get run over, right? So we have to get over that. And I love Apostle, he always says this. He said, you can do the same thing I'm doing. You can do what I do. I walk in the anointing, you can walk in the anointing the same way. This anointing don't have to stop here on stage. It can be at your house. He always says, you hear a minister, he's always saying, I want you to be able to do this. You can take this home with you. Most of the time, priests don't say that. They want you to keep coming in them. They're trying, it's almost like a drug dealer. They want you to, you know, serve you a little bit, keep you coming, right? No, but he say that glory can be at your house. That glory can happen right there where you at. If you catch on. And as the church, if you just leave it at the building, then it'll stay at the building and never be at your home. I'll never be where you're walking. I'll never be at your job. I'll never be right there with your family when you ain't got time to call pastor. We ain't got time to be going to call one of the elders. You become the elder right then. I am the church. Say it.
I am the church.
Come on, say it again. I am the church.
I am the church.
Come on, say it again. I am the church.
I am the church.
Now, for sake of disclaimer, you got to realize that you're not the church by yourself. You know that, right? Right. For sake of disclaimer, I know I just have to say these things. I got people watching on. I don't nobody say that. I told them they the church themselves. We are. The church, say it.
We are.
Ephesians 4 says it's clear, every joint supply. We'll talk about that a little bit. It talks about the church. Talk about church, every joint supply. But we are. The church is a live, living organism. It is alive through us. What happens here on this Sunday morning, when we're gathered together, this is the time that we've set to gather together. But what happens here on a Sunday morning should be happening anywhere else on a Monday afternoon. Yeah. On one of the most random days that you don't think the God want to do something, he can do it right then with the same amount of power. Because we are the church. Say it.
We are the church.
So we got to get over the fact it's hard. It's hard. Because we've been known. How long you been in church? How long you been in church? Come on. How long you been? Forever. Can't remember not being in church. First time I remember seeing, I saw a stage with the church. All right, so we y'all know how long we've been in church. We've been in forever. So we church. I just said, you know, all I remember is church was the building with the steeple on top. Sometimes you got a bell. Uh-huh. We had a bell in our old church. That's where church began and stopped right there. I got to go to church today. How you going to go to somewhere that you are? But it's just redoing my mind. We're still talking. We'll still refer to, you know, at church. We still refer to it, you know, going to church, right? But we got to break that. There's going to be some, and I'm not being over militant about it. I'm not saying, don't you say nothing about churches, the building. I'm not being militant. But what I'm saying is you have to break that a little bit in your mind so you can really understand what's going on. Because if you never break that, the enemy will use that sometime. The enemy loves for you to think that this building is a church and you not. Oh, he would love it. He'll let you call the church all day. He'll let you invite everybody to church. You ain't got no problem with that because he know you're missing out on the power. The power is in you. The power of the church is in you. So get over. It's not a building. Say it's not a building. Come on, say it again. It's not a building. The building becomes, listen, the building becomes the church house. We can refer to it as the church when we all get together. Right. Sometimes people don't have no other labels for something. You can call it, we're going down to the church. When I say to my friends, they know. I talk to Brian and say, where you at, man? I'm down at the church. You already know where I'm at, all right? So I get that, all right? Don't get all deep on me. But you got to understand, we are. Say it again. And I got you saying stuff. I'm going to have you saying stuff over and over again because faith comes by
hearing.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing. And you don't hear nobody's voice better than your own. They say there's a scientific, I can't get over that. This is a scientific study that says that when you hear your own voice, it makes tracks into your brain. It makes tracks into your mind that other people's voices couldn't make. And it starts to stamp things. You know, sometimes people make a recording and they'll be talking to themselves while they're sleeping. You ever heard somebody do that before? You never heard that before, huh? Sometimes people make a, y'all never heard that before? Wow, okay. Sometimes people make a recording and be quoting the scriptures. And they'll quote their confession and let it play all night long. Because you're not gonna hear nobody else's voice better than yours. The only person's voice you're gonna hear better than yours is God if you're on course. You can hear mine all day long. I don't care how much you love me. I don't care how much you love Apostle, how much you love anybody else. Your voice is familiar to you. It's yours. So you can try that out. That'll be something cool. But you keep saying stuff. You keep saying it over again. So you're making new tracks in your mind. You're making new tracks in your functioning. We are the church. Say it again. Come on, say it again. We are the church. Come on, say it again. We are the church. If I just stop right now and don't preach nothing else and don't say nothing else, you're going to go to the car understanding that we are the church. That'll be enough. Just we are the church. The church is a live, living organism in me. Ephesians chapter 2. I just got to do a little reading. I don't want to jump around too far and get besides what I'm trying to get to. The church really began in Acts. Jesus mentioned the church in Matthew chapter 16, and we'll go there in a minute and what he was saying about the church. But the church really began in Acts. This is after, you know, Jesus ascended and went up to be to sit with the Father. He came out, he resurrected and did some things and was then and saw some people, showed himself to some people, and he ascended. You know, he said, go, you know, all the world, preach the gospel, right? We know that's our favorite, right? Right? And he told us all that. And the church began in the book of Acts. You remember they're in the upper room. You remember? Y'all know the story, right? If you don't know the story, you need to read your Bible a little bit more. They're in the upper room in Acts, it said, and the Holy Ghost came upon them, and you know, all of them were speaking in tongues, and then they're speaking everybody's language. They were speaking everybody's native language. Now, I don't have... For the sake of time, I don't have time to really go get into that, and we'll be able to get into this later on in the semester. But they were speaking everybody's language. I learned some characteristics of what the church should be doing and what the church ain't doing that it should be doing. Why sometimes it don't be reasonable. I'll be wondering why the doors ain't getting beat down. If we got all this power going on in here and all this and all this Jesus that we got, why they not beating the doors down? Why we got a dog on there drag them to church? Huh? Tell the truth. You got to drag them. You got to invite them 20 million times. They still might not come. Then they come, they're sitting there like they don't want to be there. Why is that? There's a reason. The Bible said the curse causes shall not come. So that means that there's a reason for everything under the sun. Could it be there's some things that we doing that we shouldn't be doing? Mm-mm. Or could it be some things that we should be doing that we're not doing as a church as a whole? Could it be that the house is doing, the people at the house are doing, the church house, the people at the house are doing what they're supposed to do, but we as a church are not doing what we're supposed to do? Is it a possibility? I know for a fact now this church house is going to run over. I'm trying to get my mind wrapped around it now and prepare myself and my people around here to be prepared for the crowd, because what happens is, people thought that people were following Jesus because he was Jesus, but ain't nobody really know he was Jesus. Now I'm going to read the scripture. Now he had to ask Peter, well, who men say that I am? And Peter had to get a revelation, and he was walking with him. So, you know, we have a tendency to read the scripture and think they're just following him because they're following Jesus because of his works. They were following Jesus simply because of what he was doing. It wasn't no other reason. They were simply following. You can read Acts. You can read over. They were following him because of the signs and the wonders. They saw signs. They saw wonders. So they followed. And then 5,000, which ended up really being about 15,000 people that they fed with the bread and the fish, they kept on following because they saw signs and wonders. Jesus met the needs of the people. And so because the needs were met, the people followed. Jesus ain't never sent out no flyers. He ain't sent out no tweets and no. Y'all know how we here right now it's 2014, but he ain't do no promo package. He had to get on WBRZ to advertise. He hadn't had to do it. His works was his advertisement. And then Jesus was telling them jokers, don't go tell nobody. You ever tell that before? In two different times he told them different things. Jesus said, don't go tell them. Just go, don't go tell them. Of course, you know they're going to go tell. If your eyes were closed and then they open, how you go back home and your eyes open when they was blind? How you not tell nobody? You just going to sit down and start eating like it was everything normal? No, you got to say something. But his reputation preceded him. They were hearing about this man from Nazareth. Was Nazareth with the hood. You know that, right? Nazareth was the ghetto in Israel. Yeah, Nazareth was the place. Ain't no good thing. Could any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nothing, especially not the Savior. Savior need to come from the suburbs. He can't come from Nazareth. Huh? But his reputation, so the signs and wonders. The signs and wonders made them. I always wonder why the people ain't beating the door down. Should they or should they not be beating the door down? I think it's what they need there. Yeah. But we're so busy trying to bring them to church that we don't bring them to church. Look at me. We're so busy trying to bring them to church that we don't bring them to church. Who's the church? We the church. So how you going to bring them to church when you ain't bring them to church? Why they ain't have no church when they met you on the bus? Why we ain't have service then? Service. Church service. What's service? What's the real service? We got to get over this religious stuff. What's service? What's service? We thought it was meeting. We call them services, meetings, conferences, right? All that. No. But what does the word service mean? Huh? When you do somebody a service, you do something for them. You, the root word of service is what? So now church service, you thought it was at 10. No, it was all day long. Every time you set foot out your house, sometimes in your house. Huh? Church service. How you going to bring them to service if you ain't brought them to service? Come on, y'all, come on. Now, I keep saying that over and over again because we got to get over that. When you leave out of here tonight after your last class, leave out of night, church on. Church popping right then. We don't know what we're going to need to do. Why you say, Paul said, I pray more than you all. Why you pray more than y'all? Because I know church can pop off at any minute, and I got to be in tune to what the Holy Ghost won't do, because I ain't got no time to go to the altar. But I can go to the altar. Come on, y'all. Come on. I ain't got time to go, but I can go. Altar upon my heart. All this Bible now. And so we've got to regroup. We got to regroup. When we regroup this, when we regroup our mind and our function and our thinking, invite a friend day, invite a friend to church, right? Well, you should invite them to church on Tuesday when they have no literal 7 o'clock service. Why you invite them then? You should be seeing church in you. Do y'all see what I'm saying? Church began the book of Acts, and it began with miracles, signs, and wonders. Soon the church popped off in Acts. The cloven tongue set them on like fire. Come on, you can't get no more deep than that. You can't get no more supernatural than that. They ain't seen nothing like that before. The coolest thing they saw before that was Jesus going up in the sky. Right? And they had to sit there and wait. So they didn't know what they was doing. But Jesus said, wait. He said, wait for a comforter. I'm going to send another one. Just wait for him. So they said that way. When he showed up, he came with that fire. And they started going out after that. And all kind of things started happening. And all kind of people were getting up. And they were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ all over. And the signs were following them. So the people had to believe because the signs were following. The people had to believe because the signs, do y'all hear me? The people had no choice. Let me tell you something. We don't have to force any truth. And a sign and a wonder from God, when somebody shows you something that you couldn't see before and give you some deliverance that you didn't have before that person got there, you don't have to become a believer. You believe. Something just happened that you just believe. I just believe. And so the signs and wonders popped off in the church, beginning to ask signs and wonders. That's how it started. That was the root. That's how it began. It began with signs and wonders. It didn't begin with the steeple. It didn't begin with membership care. It didn't begin with passing out tracts. It began with signs and wonders. It began with the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, somewhere along the line, from then to now, we lost something. As a church as a whole, y'all understand what I'm saying, right? As a whole, I wish I could be preaching this message to a million preachers. As a whole, somewhere along the line, we got caught up in the ritual and the religion and the tradition of it all and started playing church. We started having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Form and fashion. Y'all know all those things in the Bible, right? Form and fashion. Like, we look the part. You know what I'm saying? But we're not being the part. You know, we get dressed up with the best of them. Huh? We get dressed up, carry the Bible, we'll quote scriptures. Right? We look the part. Where's the sign? Where's the sign? Where's the wonder? Where's the sign? Where's the wonder? Ain't no signs, ain't no wonders, ain't nobody gonna follow you. I love what Apostle said. He preached the other day and he started preaching. You know, sometimes people, people sit there because they know some scriptures. So they sit there and they look at you like you ain't saying nothing. Because you done read their favorite scripture, they done quoted it in their head already before you got there. As soon as you said the scripture, they done quoted it in their head. So now they've come with their revelation and they're gonna miss out what God about to say. Don't ever do that in church. Whenever you approach the word, whenever you approach a sermon or somebody's ministry, be open. Stop trying to go ahead and read and you preaching in your head. It's not your time to preach right now. It's not your turn. But he say, sometimes people look at you and they, I knew about faith, anointing, and glory. No, you didn't. But I be wanting to get them, grab the mic, and be like, why y'all sitting there acting like y'all know this already? You know you ain't never heard this before. I heard that. I know. I've been quoting that since I was 4 years old. I've been in the church. It's like, look, I've been in the church. What you mean? I didn't see the power before. I didn't see the supernatural. I didn't see line. So then he say this. He said, when last time some blind eyes opened in your church? Uh-oh. Every preacher. When last time somebody got up out of a wheelchair? When last time somebody got up from the dead? And it becomes pressure because you realize that I might be missing something. I'm missing some power somewhere. Jesus did all them stuff. The one that we come and worship, and the one that we say is in our heart. He's on the inside of me. He go everywhere I go. Do we really? He go everywhere that I go. He did all that. Open blind eyes, people got up. Lame people got up. People dead. Lazarus, right? Lazarus was dead. Was stinking. They say he was stank. He's rotten already. Got up from there. Jesus doing all those things. The one that we're proclaiming. The one that we're telling people they need in their lives. The one that we're telling people, you must be born again. How am I born again? By accepting Jesus into my heart. How do I explain this? How do I really witness this? How do I really get this across without any signs and wonders? How do I really do this? How can I really be a witness if nobody see nothing? I can't be a witness if I ain't never seen it. Like a witness in court? I cannot be a witness if I ain't seen nothing. I can't tell you nothing about nothing happening. All I can tell you is what somebody told me. Uh-oh. Most preaching is that. I'm going to tell you what they told me. I believe it as far as I could believe. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief, you know, because I never held it with my hand. You know, even Jesus, you know, I know you say, I know the scripture, I'm quoting the scripture, and I'm going straight to scripture now. I know it say, it's better for you to be able to believe without seeing it, right? Y'all know it, right? I'm just peppering. It's better for you to, and we take that and we ran off and made religion and law out of it, right? Like, I don't need to see nothing. No. You need to see something. How I know? When Jesus came back, he remember when Dalton Thomas? I ain't gonna believe he up until I can put my fingers in the holes in his hands. So what did Jesus do? He obliged him. He came. I love Jesus, boy. I wish I could have been there to see it. And I thought he probably did it so cool. Jesus probably walked up and was like, how you feel now? How does it make you feel? Go ahead, touch it. How does it make you feel? I became a believer. He became a believer in Jesus Christ's resurrection at that moment. Do y'all get that? Because he was able to see and feel. Everybody say see and feel. Come on, say see and feel. Come on, say it again. See and feel. Because he was able to see and feel the power of God at that moment, and it was real to him. He became a believer of the resurrection. He didn't believe Jesus got up. He thought Jesus was another prophet that had died. So the power to see, you know, they say to see it is a believer, right? Right. You know, I know they, you know, we throw a lot of stuff in there. No, listen. When them people see something and they feel something, they believe something. How you expect them to be more spiritual and believe anyway if they don't have no proof? We're trying to get people to join something and become a part of something just off of what we said. So that's why when you're cold turkey witnessing, it didn't go across well. That's why you witnessed and gave them the scriptures and got anointed about it and you felt the spirit and you kept going on with them and you thought the Lord was with you right there. And then they said, I'm all right, though. I don't want this. How that made you feel? That's why those, and then we do Paul planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase to make us feel better, right? Right? And I know the scripture already, but it should have been some power. There should have been something going on right there that jolted them out of where they were. A lot of people had to be jolted out of what they've been built, what they built in their lives for so long already. They've already built the fact of how they feel about the church. They already built the fact they feel like preachers crooks. They already built the fact that they feel like the most hypocritical people in the world is at the church. They already built the fact that we run around screaming about stuff but don't nothing be happening in our lives. They already built to the fact that we be reading our Bibles more than anybody else but be most broken, busted, disgusted people on the earth. Come on. Can we talk about it for a minute? They already know that. They already built how they feel about it. So now they got to be jolted out of that. And the only way you jolt somebody out of that is a supernatural. The only way somebody gets out of those ways is by supernatural power of God. The dynamite is blasting them out of their rut. It's the only way it happens. That's witnessing. That's a witness. You cannot, let's go back. You cannot tell that man that Jesus spit in the dirt and put the dirt in his eye and then told him, go. You cannot tell that man that Jesus ain't for real. The woman with the issue of blood, you cannot convince her. I wish she can come in and preach tonight. I wish she can come on. She preached the word. She come in. You cannot get her. You cannot convince her to tell her that he ain't the Messiah. The woman that touched the hem of his garment, you can't tell her. You can't tell Zacchaeus that he not the Savior. You couldn't tell him. Why? Go through all them stories. Go read. We need to read more about Jesus. Go through the story. Read about everything else. Go read more about Jesus. Go through the stories. Go read. Why? Because he come told Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus up in the tree. Zacchaeus a hood. He a neighborhood drug dealer. He a neighborhood thug. That's him. He taking the money from people. They don't nobody like him in the hood. Now Zacchaeus up in the tree. All these thousands of people out there. And he come and say, Zacchaeus, today I'm coming to your house. Well, first of all, how you knew my name? Supernatural. All these people out here, and you knew my name, and you come talk to me, and obviously there was some supernatural prophecy going on, or some kind of word of knowledge, because him and the whole house got saved. Now, when they say whole house, they're not talking about him and his wife and his three kids. They're talking about everybody everybody that worked for him. And the houses back then wasn't like houses now. They all stayed there. All of them got saved. Well, what was going on? Supernatural power of God. It was supernatural that they came into his city, that Jesus came into his city and had all them people following him. This is my city. Who is this guy coming to my city and got all these thousands of people following him? Supernatural. You got to see something, though. The sinners got to see something. Y'all can say what y'all want. They're going to have to see something. We can sit up here and just believe. Faith, let's believe. In the name of Jesus, they're going to come. No. No. They got to see something. We used to pray, Missouri. We used to pray the prayer. Send them from these. And I believe God. I'm knocking the prayer. Send them from these. Lord, send them from these. We start calling the cities, right? Huh? We start calling the cities. And praise the Lord for that prayer. But along with that prayer, I got to go there. Some supernatural. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So you know, I'm from there. And then we say, and start Gosmer and Gonzalez. All right, well, if I'm in Gonzalez, that means after I've stretched my hand and prayed that way, when I'm driving that way, or when I'm doing my business in that way that day, then I'm in Gosmer, then that's when the prayers start popping off right there. Because they're going to have to see something to come. These buildings will be empty if there's no supernatural. Or it'll just be us. We saved. We're going to pass communion to each other. Huh? The origin of the church was filled with the Holy Ghost signs and wonders. It was filled with the Holy Ghost, signs and wonders. It was filled with the Holy Ghost, signs and wonders. And that same power is available today, but we've got to change our focus. We've got to stop focusing so much on the text, right? And start thinking about deliverance. Doesn't mean you don't come to church service and you come with pastors. That don't mean we come to church service and we just start doing stuff without, you know, the word. Everything is based on the word of God. Don't get me wrong. The word of God is the frame for it all, right? But I'll be expecting God to do something amazing. Only reason we haven't been seeing it because we hadn't been expecting it. Yeah, we probably haven't even been asking for it. We get to the same old faith, name it and claim it, confess it and believe it. How long have we been doing that? And then you wait. They didn't wait upon the Lord. So now we'd have made a waiting doctrine. And you thought it before that the world was stronger than us. Why they reading so many people? You know, you see these concerts, or see these shows, see these magicians on TV and stuff like that. Yeah, they're trying to imitate the signs and wonders. You know, Moses threw down that rod and it became a serpent. You know, Pharaoh people threw down a rod too. Threw down a few of them and it became a few serpents. Now the power is that Moses' rod ate that serpent, but that doesn't mean that they can't do tricks either. Now, if not, the truth of the matter is, when the supernatural reaches the superficial, that's the best way I want to say it. When the supernatural reaches their tricks, when the truth and the lies show up, the truth always prevails. It's almost like when light and dark. You never see light and dark struggling. You ever seen that before? You never seen light. Come on, hit the light switch. You never seen it. Hit the light switch. Hurry, go to the light switch. Turn it off so it get dark in here. Just turn them off. I dark, right? No, turn them. It's dark, right? Turn them back on. There was no struggle. Speed of light, right. That's how manifestation should be. Speed of light. Light. There wasn't none of that. Just light. Right? When light shows up, darkness is exposed. When truth shows up, the lie is exposed, all right? But the problem comes in where when the lie is there, and nobody's lifted up the truth. Now, I'm not talking about your scriptures now. I'm not talking about your scriptures right now. We've been lifting up the scriptures. Haven't we? How long have we been quoting scriptures? I'm not talking about that right now. Thank God for scriptures. I'm not talking about that right now. Because they do their tricks. They explode. They be exploding stuff at the concerts. People come down off of wires flying. Look at they flying. I saw a concert one time. They picked up the whole stage. The stage flew across. They got the stage picked up, unhooked, and went across the crowd. They just were singing. Well, that's exciting. Exciting to you too, huh? You like it, huh? Woo! Look at them. You like it, you like it? Y'all know y'all seen the little magicians on TV and they doing little stuff. You might have, in your back of your head, you might have cursed that in Jesus' name, but you know you was watching it. Yeah, one of them guys, like he gonna walk across the water. He just sitting there trying to figure it out. Right? It's exciting. It look cool. So they get crowds and crowds of people. I call it smokes and mirrors. Sleight of hand, magician, it's a sleight of hand. They say you look at this hand so you won't know what this hand doing. That's what it is. But it looks fantastic. The problem with that is, so now we won't curse that. No. Stop sitting in your living room cursing it. I curse that in the name of Jesus. No, stop. Be something. Do something. Be supernatural. And then you won't have to explain it. We've been trying to explain too many things. Huh? We've been trying to explain it with our scriptures. And we do 1,000 of them to try to explain it, and people still don't want to hear what you're saying. Why is that? Because I don't need your words on your paper. I don't know nothing about that right now. But I know that looks exciting. And what you're doing don't look like nothing. Now, if Moses snake would have, if he'd have never threw his rod, it never would have been there. That would have been the power of God, as far as they're concerned. They'd have thought that was God. They actually think that other stuff is God. How people get pulled off towards a cult or something like that? You know, like the cults, like People can pull off that because there's nothing real. They hadn't had a chance to see nothing real because the realist, the supernaturalist, the ones that's really supposed to be doing it, ain't doing it. And so they're going towards something. You're built that way. The supernatural, the spiritual on the inside of you is built that way to look for spiritual things. It's built that way to look for something out of the ordinary. You're built to be drawn to something that's not normal because you're not normal. You're built that way. It's built on the inside of your spirit. It's all up in your DNA. It's all up in your mindset. You're built that way to look for something that's more than the regular. You're built that way. We are all built that way. The peace of God's on the inside. You're built that way to look for something extraordinary. You're built that way. So they get drawn off to this and drawn off to that. And we know we got the answer, but they're drawn off all over the place because we're not letting them see what they need to see. There's no signs and no wonders. So the church has been as usual as ever. So they figured out what they thought about the church already. They figured out how they feel about it already. I feel like this already about the church, so it don't matter. I already know what that is. What time is class in, Brian? All right. I already know what that is. Ephesians 2. And if you read through this, I ain't got time to read through the whole thing. But if you read through it, you can read it for yourself and study. It's a good time to study. It's talk about us being quickened together with Christ. And quickened don't mean fast, it just means alive. By grace you are saved. In verse 8 it says, Ephesians 2 verse 8, or verse 6, and it says, raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And I find a lot of stuff about the church in here because it says, wherefore remember, this is a great scripture, verse 11, wherefore remember, and this is one of the things the church needs to do. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in flesh made by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by what? That is one of the things the church needs to remember. Now, I don't have time to really get into it. We're going to stick that thing. But this is one of the things the church needs to remember. Remember that you was a Gentile. Before you start looking at everybody else like they Gentiles, remember not, he said not long ago. Right. No, just look at the scripture, come on. Remember that you been in time past in the flesh who are called uncircumcised by, time past you was a Gentile. You was in this world, you was aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. See, we as the church, say we as the church. Come on, say we as the church. Come on, say it again. We as the church had to remember. You know they say don't forget where you came from? You heard that statement before? Yeah, you got to remember. It's funny how people talk about somebody that, you know, young lady get pregnant in the church and they go talk about her. Look at her. You start saying illegitimate babies and all that stuff, right? But some of them that's looking at them was quote-unquote illegitimate babies. Huh? How soon do we forget? How soon do we forget? We're quick. The Bible talks about he that is spiritual judges all things. But that's not very spiritual. So why are you judging? Don't forget this is a little while ago. You was a Gentile in this world with no hope. You know, we got in church, so we've been in there for 10 years. How long have we been there? We finished new members class, right? Now, I'm a leader now, right? Right, so I'm a leader, so now I done forgot where I came from. I forgot that there's somebody over there in the same hood that I came from that need the same supernatural power. The Verse 14, I skip. For he is our peace, who made both one and both down the middle of the wall of partition between us, having abolished his flesh, enmity, even the law of commandments contained the orders to make himself twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off. Y'all saw that? Y'all see verse 17? And came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household, and of the household, and of the house, sound like the church, right? Right, right? And of the household of God. And I built upon the foundation, I'm going to get on this, boy, and built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together goeth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also build it together for a habitation of God through his Spirit. Sound like the church to me. Sound like the church to me, right? Sound like, but it's talking to people. He's talking to people. He wasn't really talking about a building. He said, you become a habitation. But he's talking to us, how we're supposed to do it. Are you sure this class ends at 7:35? All right, people looking at me through their glass like I'm looking at me. It's talking to us. It's talking, now I can really go through that scripture. We probably touch on it again when I have more time to really see some of the things that we're supposed to be doing. I think that's one of the main things about us as the church. We tend to look down upon people. You don't deserve. I was reading an Acts the other day, and he told Peter to go talk to Cornelius. I think it was, and he had to give Peter a dream, and lift that up. He said, "Slay and eat." Y'all remember that, huh? Come on, y'all got to read the book of Acts. We're reading the book of Acts now. We're the apostle. And our prayer, we're on Acts chapter 13 today. It's crazy. But he lifted him up. Because Cornelius, he said, thy prayers and thy alms come up before me as a memorial, right? So now he said, I'm about to send somebody over to you to show you how to get this Holy Ghost. Right? Peter said, I can't, I can't eat that. You know I don't eat nothing like that. He said, I don't call nothing that I made common. This is the beginning of the church now. This is Acts. He's trying to show us something, y'all. He's trying to show. Don't call nothing that I made. Come, I talked to a man the other day, long story short, I ended up talking to him. He died 22 years ago. Got a chance to, he met Jesus. Jesus sent him back and told him what he had to do. Told him how to pray. I ain't got time to go into the whole story. But Jesus said, listen, I didn't predestine anybody to go to hell. Listen to that statement. Jesus told me, he said, I didn't predestine anybody to go to hell. They're going to deny me to their last breath. But he said, because of that, you don't give up on nobody. Sound like Jesus to me, boy. You don't give up on nobody. Who gave you the right to give up? Who gave you the right to wash your hands of somebody? When you earn that right? You don't ever give up on nobody. Don't look down on nobody. They ain't going to look like you. Of course they're not going to look like you. How long have you been here? All right. They're not going to come in, they're not going to come in that way, because they don't even know what that is. As far as they're concerned, that jibber-jabber. What Jesus did with that woman at the well? Hey, you know, you dirty woman. Look at you. He ain't walk by and ain't, don't touch me. You minister, one thing is Jesus came to reveal the Father. That's it. Came to reveal the Father. What he did, y'all, we talked about it last year. What he did was what God would have done. What he did was the express image of what God thought about every situation. Us as the church. You know the true example of the church? You know the true example of the church is Jesus. That's the Word was made flesh. This is what I'm talking about. The Word was, he came down and was God in the flesh. That's the church. That's us. You know, because we think our mama not named Mary and we didn't come from a virgin birth, we think we different. Because we wasn't born in Israel. I was born in Baton Rouge. So we think we different. We think that don't apply to us. We think we're different being. No, you got the same DNA. You got the same makeup. You got the same functioning. And so we as a church ought to be able to do the same thing. We're gonna go further down in the scripture. We're gonna go further down. They know in some of the chapters when we start seeing Jesus. How did he function? How should the church function? Well, how did Jesus function? I don't do nothing but what my Father tells me to do. Me and myself, I can't do nothing. When we go through this, and we go through this class, I ain't got time to go no further. When we go through this class, And you go ahead and read this, Ephesians chapter 2, and you read the first chapter of the book, and we'll touch on it. Some of when we finish this class, you're going to have a whole new look on church. You have a whole new understanding of what should be done. You're going to start seeing things, your pastor. You're going to start seeing things that, man, I need to adjust this. See what I'm saying? I need to adjust this and just tweak it a little bit. It's not that we're far off. But you know that man in the Bible that says, Jesus laid hands on him. He said, I can see, but I see men walking like trees. Y'all remember that?
Yes, sir.
Y'all remember that story?
Yes,
I see men walking a tree. I said, Lord, why did you do it like that? You know, you see me, why you just ain't send all the power in the first time? Lay hands on him again, everything was clear. It's not that we're far, but it's a little foggy. So we're gonna get some clarity of who we are as the church. Right? Because we are the church, right? Say it.
We are the church.
We get some clarity of who we are as the church, and then we start having church everywhere. We got a church in the morning. Where y'all going tomorrow morning? Where y'all going tomorrow morning? We can have church. Don't go up there and start praying in tongues all loud and bring out your Bible and start singing your worship song. I ain't said that. But you can have church right there. Amen. 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 Amen.